So please welcome Margaret Lang.
So it was a week after Christmas. I lived in Arroyo Grande, in the village of Arroyo Grande, in a little house that was built in 1910. And I lived there with my two young teenage girls. My house was, because I had two young teenage girls, was usually pretty loud. And I usually had other people's teenagers there as well, because I guess two is never quite enough, right? And it was a wonderful loud house. And because of that, around 9 or 9:30, I would ask people to, you know, go home if they didn't belong to me. And I would ask my children to settle down and turn off the TV and get off the phone, because I had to go to work in the morning at 6:30. And so what I would normally do is close my door and try to get to sleep. This particular night, a week after Christmas, I didn't close my door. And I remember thinking, I went to close it and I thought, oh, I'm not going to close it tonight. That's different. I'm just not going to close it tonight. And because I didn't close my door that night, I heard the fire start in the floor heater just outside my room. Like, whoo. And I knew what it was immediately. I leapt out of bed and I saw the fire. It was a laundry basket that had just been kicked slightly over the floor heater. This was about 5:30 in the morning. I thought, oh, it's a fire, it's a fire. Oh, I know what to do, I've seen this. People cover the fire. So what was nearby for me was an Afghan. Now there's a reason why when you see people cover fires on TV or in a movie, they don't use Afghans. Because Afghans have big holes in them and they're highly flammable. So I didn't know that at the time, and I covered it with the Afghan, and then the fire leapt up more. And then I thought, oh, this is a real fire. So I yelled for the girls to get out of bed and get out of the house and go sit in the car. I found the phone, and I called 911. And there was no sound on the receiver. I called 911 again. No sound. Again, no sound. I thought the cord must have been burnt in the fire. This was in the days when phones were tethered to the wall, and we had a very long cord that the girls would use to take through to their bedroom so they could have privacy. I thought, okay, it's burnt. And it wasn't burnt. So I said, okay, what is going on? Took a deep breath, and I realized that in my nervousness and fear, I was calling 991. And all other permutations of 911. So I took a deep breath, called 911, thought, okay, they're going to be here any minute, because the fire station was directly around the block from me. And I made the phone call, and like 2 seconds later, I could hear the sirens starting in the fire station. So I thought, okay, I'm good. They're going to be here. As I'm watching the fire consume the rest of the Afghan, and any minute now, they're going to be rushing through the door. Any minute now, no firemen. Any minute now, no firemen. What's going on here? So I'm sitting here and I'm watching the fire and I'm thinking, well, this is crazy. I've got to do something. So I went in the kitchen, I got a pot of water and I put it on the fire and I put the fire out. And still no firemen. I thought, what's going on? So I went outside and I saw them on the house. So my house was built directly behind the house that faced the street. And they thought that's where the fire was, so they were looking for the fire up there. I see them up there confusedly looking for a fire, and I said, hey, the fire's back here. Come back here. And they came back, and I said, the thing is, I just put it out. I'm so sorry to have bothered you. They said, no, really, ma'am, it's okay. We need to be here. We need to check this out. So they came in. One of the firemen felt the wall where the fire had been, and he said, oh, he said, this was really hot. He said, this fire was just about to jump to your extremely dead Christmas tree on the other side of the living room. The fire marshal came in and he said, where are your smoke alarms? I said, nowhere here. And he said, well, let me have the name of your landlord. And then another fireman put a big fan in my front door and sucked all the smoke out. And this took about an hour. So at 6:30, which is when I would usually get up and go to work, I was 6:30. I said, what am I going to do? I'll go to work. So the kids went to school. I got up. I went to work. And about 10 o'clock that morning, I stopped in my tracks, and I said, oh, my God, I had a fire in my house this morning. That's like when it really hit me. And my friend Larry was nearby, and he said, what did you say? I said, I had a fire in my house this morning. Oh, my God. You know, and I got through the rest of the day. I got home, and I walked to the door, and I looked in my house, and all along the top of the walls and where the ceiling was, it looked like somebody had hung black lace all over my house. And it was the soot that had been captured in the cobwebs that were all along my walls. So you can see I was a very busy woman. And and there was soot coming up, you know, the walls were full of soot. And that's when it really, really hit me. And I just sobbed, all the emotion and the fear and the, all just came out, and I sobbed and I sobbed. And for about a week, I couldn't move. Everything was stiff. It was just like that from the tension. But everything worked out, and we repainted and got another heater, and it was all fine. And to this day, when I hear the sound of, even if it's, you know, where it's supposed to be, like if the water heater starts up or something, and my stomach turns over. And also to this day, I'm in amazement that somehow I knew to leave my door open. And I listened, and that made all the difference. Mm-hmm.